From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Art thou asking the reason of this, believer? Look upward to thy heavenly Father, and behold Him pure and holy. Dost thou know that thou art one day to be like Him? Wilt thou easily be conformed to His image? Wilt thou not require much refining in the furnace of affliction to purify thee? Will it be an easy thing to get rid of thy corruptions and make thee perfect, even as thy Father which is in heaven is perfect? Next, Christian, turn thine eye downward. Dost thou know what foes thou hast beneath thy feet? Thou wast once a servant of Satan, and no king will willingly lose his subjects. Dost thou think that Satan will let thee alone? No, he will be always at thee, for he goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Expect trouble, therefore, Christian, when thou lookest beneath thee. Then look around thee. Where art thou? Thou art in an enemy's country, a stranger and a sojourner. The world is not thy friend. If it be, then thou art not God's friend, for he who is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Be assured that thou shalt find foemen everywhere. When thou sleepest, think that thou art resting on the battlefield. When thou walkest, suspect an ambush in every hedge. As mosquitoes are said to bite strangers more than natives, so will the trials of earth be sharpest to you. Lastly, look within thee, into thine own heart, and observe what is there. Sin and self are still within. Ah, if thou hadst no devil to tempt thee, no enemies to fight thee, and no world to ensnare thee, thou wouldst still find in thyself evil enough to be a sore trouble to thee. For the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Expect trouble, then, but despond not on account of it, for God is with thee to help and to strengthen thee. He hath said, I will be with thee in trouble. I will deliver thee and honor thee.
Fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled The Weeping Christ, part of this series of studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ. The New Testament records three incidents where the Lord Jesus wept. At the tomb of Lazarus, he shed tears of sympathy. Looking upon Jerusalem, he wept tears of mercy. In Gethsemane, he cried for deliverance in order to complete his divine mission on the cross. From these events, Dr. Cairns has shown how Christ's tears reveal his humanity. In addition, they display his tender-heartedness toward sinners. As Christ wept for his enemies, we need to be moved with compassion for the lost souls of this world who fail to understand their danger of dying without a Savior. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Weeping Christ.
Nobody knew the sovereign purpose of God in election. as the Lord Jesus did. His disciples didn't, but he did. How do I know he did? Because all of God's elect are elect in him. He says in John 17 that they are the people that God gave to him from all eternity. So he knew the distinguishing decree of God's election. Yet, he wept. Not only so, but he knew why he was going to die. The Lord Jesus fully believed in what we term particular redemption. The Lord Jesus knew he was not dying with no purpose. He knew he was not going to the cross to open some door of opportunity that may be or may not be effective. He knew that when he went to die, he was dying for a church that was given him in the covenant of redemption from in the counsel of God from all eternity. He knew why he was going to die. He had a purpose in mind, and he knew he would accomplish that purpose. Yet he wept. I want you to ponder that. Because his knowledge of the wickedness of man, his knowledge of the purpose of God, his knowledge of the particularity of his coming sacrifice, none of this made him either hard-hearted or uncaring toward perishing sinners. And if that was true of the omniscient Christ, how much more should it be true of you and of me, who know so little of the wickedness of man that we cannot even plumb the filthy depths of our own hearts. We know so little of the eternal purpose of God that we are indeed forbidden to try to look into it. We know so little of the particularity of Christ's sacrifice that we cannot with any confidence, or indeed with any warrant, identify the people for whom Jesus shed his blood. To hear some people, you would think that God took a perverse delight in damning souls. I've had people tell me in so many words that all the kindness of God to sinners, all the goodness of God to sinners, all the gifts of God to sinners, are just like a farmer fattening a pig for slaughter. That he created them for no other purpose than for the pleasure of damning them. That the only reason they're damned is that God likes to do it. I confess that I am as much at sea in deciphering the eternal purpose of God as the next man. I back off a little here to say this. By mere human logic, and applying what I think is logical consistency, at every point where my limited intellect touches eternity, I can establish on apparently logical or even biblical grounds, I can establish what I know, what you know, and what that Bible knows to be utter and absolute heresy and folly. What does it say? It's simply saying that finite logic fails when it comes in contact with the infinite. God is not a paradox. Let me make this clear to you. God is entirely consistent with himself. But that does not say that I have the means of unlocking that inner consistency so that he's consistent with my thinking. I can't do that. And I freely confess that I cannot do that. And again, could I do that, I also would be God. The tears of Christ tell me this. Again, remember, they're not acting. They're not crocodile tears. They are real tears. They are tears for a city brought to destruction. They are tears for a city that didn't know the time of its visitation. If words mean anything, and they mean everything here, they are tears for a people who couldn't see the opportunity when it was set before them. And those tears cry out of the reality of the kindness, the care, the concern of a loving Christ, the friend of sinners. Ezekiel, of course, had quoted the words of the Lord, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live." That's a general proposition. It's a statement of the utmost universality. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. What I have pleasure in, as Luke 15 says, and we will look at this, God willing, next week, is that the wicked turns from his way and lives. And anybody who has ever had a grasp of the truth of God's sovereignty and salvation, a real and true and biblical grasp of that sovereignty and salvation, will always have a heart that beats with the heart of Christ and weeps with the tears of Christ. How do I know that? Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9. This is introducing some of the deepest chapters in all the Bible. I have to again confess that here Paul is simply stating things that he's not going to argue them. In fact, there's one point in which he just tells you, what are you arguing about? Who do you think you are that you can argue this? And I will say the same today. If you have any desire to argue, bitterly resent the eternal, sovereign, electing, predestinating decree of a holy God, then you're a fool. Now, do I make that clear? You're a fool. And I'm not going to enter into your folly. God is God, and that's it. What God does is right. Why? Because he does it. Because I can understand it? No, sir. But because he does it, it's right. Can I solve the mystery of his purpose? No, I can't. But do I believe it? Yes, I do. So these are deep, deep things that Paul is dealing with. And yet, at the very beginning of that chapter, as he introduces the depths of God's eternal decree, he says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." This is one of the most outstanding and, in fact, one of the most challenging, sometimes you'd have to say inexplicable statements that Paul ever made. So inexplicable that many, many interpreters come to this and they say Paul did not really mean I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. They point out that the tense of the Greek verb is simply an imperfect. He said, I was wishing myself. He's referring to his days as an unsaved man. Such was my zeal for my people that I was willing to perish for them. And I was willing to be cursed from Christ. Personally, I don't believe that. And I'll tell you why. First of all, there is at least one parallel of this imperfect being used as a conditional, I could wish. Second, Paul is not talking about the burden he used to have. He's talking about the burden that now consumes him. He says, I have this heaviness. I have this continual sorrow. For whom? For the people that he later identifies as a people to whom blindness has happened. A people whom he later describes as being cut off from the olive tree. Now, he will talk about the purpose of God later. But as a man, he's looking at people, and they're going to live forever in heaven or hell. And he cannot but beat in time with the Savior's heart. He cannot but weep with the Savior's tears. He cannot but have continual sorrow. Sorrow. So much so, I fear even to say it. It's an awful thing, he said. It's an impossible thing. But doesn't love always go over the top? Doesn't love always express itself in impossible, at least human love, in impossible statements? He said, in effect, if it would save my people from hell, I would go to hell myself. Now, Paul didn't want to be cursed by Christ. He did not ever want to abandon Christ. There was no desire in Paul's heart that he would sever relationships with the Lord Jesus. That was impossible. It was in itself something he would never do. He's simply saying, such is my burden, such is my desire, such is my heart for my perishing people. Do they deserve to perish? Yes, they do. Will they be justly damned? Yes, they will. But yet, my heart breaks for them. See, brethren, I believe this. That a true knowledge of God will never, 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 never leave us with a hard heart. You can't be hard toward God. If you've ever met with Him, it'll melt your heart. You can't be hard toward your brethren. You can't be hard toward sinners. All we may see their wickedness and hate their wickedness. We may see their danger and tell them, you're on your way to a lost eternity. Never forget what the old elder in Robert Murray McChain's church told the young preacher who was entering the pulpit of the departed saint, who asked to be shown where Mr. McShane had knelt to pray before the service, so that he could kneel and pray there too. The elder said, "Yes, son. But when Mr. McShane got up, there was a pool of tears. And that's what moved Scotland for Christ. A man, and McShane, as you will know if you've ever read his sermons, McShane would preach on the sovereignty of God and on the grace of election. And he would preach on the fire, the damnation of hell. But it was this same McShane who always pleaded that he would never preach on hell without tears."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.